DeSanto Propane is four generations strong as a trustworthy family-owned business with unmatched customer service. Go online at DeSantoPropane.com for more info or call toll-free at 1-800-752-4574. Since 1937, the difference has been DeSanto Propane.
For FingerLakes1.com, I'm Josh Durso, and this is Inside the FLX. Today we are talking elections with Mindy Robinson from Wayne County Board of Elections, which recently moved from part-time to full-time election commissioners. Mindy joins me in studio. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about that changeover, that process. I would imagine it's been in the works for a couple months now, but you guys have now hit the road running, I'm assuming. What have the last, say, 60 days been like for you guys?
So we started lobbying at the beginning of the year because of the law changes, and we knew, I've been there almost 11 years. I know what the job entails, and the last 60 days. It's hard to even kind of, I haven't even let it sink in because we are in full election mode with the presidential election coming. So more or less it's now being able to take some of the job responsibilities and duties off of me and being able to delegate more. So that's most important. And two, county government, getting county government up to speed, you know, relaying any important information for them. So it's just a lot of things are happening very quickly.
And obviously with the election calendar set up in New York State the way it is, with the uncertainties that we have with congressional lines and things like that, there's a lot of moving parts. Curious, I couldn't really find another example in New York State where a county used part-time election commissioners. Are you aware of any other examples?
I've been researching this, and I have talked to multiple other counties that are similar in voter size or even smaller in voter size. And I believe there are maybe 11 counties left that do have part-time commissioners. Mm-hmm. It is becoming a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Just the way that elections are moving with law changes, you have to have somebody in there 5 days a week that, you know, you're getting these law changes in, you know, operations changes, procedures changes, and you've got to be fluent in election law and whatever might come at you.
Mm-hmm. And Wayne County is not a small county. There are several smaller counties here in the Finger Lakes region that have full-time commissioners, so no easy task there at all. Take me back to Election Day if you can. Obviously, there were a couple minor glitches that wound up delaying results in Wayne County by 12-ish hours or so. What was that day like, and how much of a watershed moment was that for you guys, where it sort of changed how everything was being approached, like, we need to make changes?
You know what? I would be lying if I said I wasn't anticipating, and not in the instance of the election night reporting. Mm-hmm. I had been very vocal. It wasn't a matter of if, but when. Something was going to happen procedurally if we did not get more staff in this office. Mm-hmm. Because you can't have, we only had four full-time employees the night of the election. We have 62,000 voters. Election ran smooth, election night reporting. There was a minor issue with a couple of the machine cards. I would lie to say I was not freaking out.
Yeah.
But you know, what we did, I will stand by it, it was appropriate. We were on the phone with New York State Board of Elections and Dominion resolving the problem, because what we did not want to do is put up results that were not, even though unofficial, that weren't accurate.
Yeah.
I think that's what everybody wants, is accuracy and transparency. And I think that's what we did, just 12 hours later.
Yeah. And what was the issue? It was just basically an SD card error, more or less, right?
It was an SD card error. There was two cards. It was for early voting. The program on one of our systems was rolled back. So when those two cards went to be read, we literally had to key in all contests again. The tabulations were on there. Hindsight's always 20/20. What we should have done is continued, put 98% of all the other results on our unofficial, and just then looked at those two cards. But it was a learning curve. Talking with other counties, I'm big on talking with other counties, getting ideas, you know, how we can do things better. Everybody's had their snafus, their hiccups, and it's a learning curve. And it's being honest. It's being honest with the voter. It's being honest with the candidates. It's being honest with county government.
I was going to say, it also sounds like you guys just erred on the side of caution.
We did.
Rather than take a potential chance and have something else potentially go wrong along the way.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, you got to understand that. So when you think about that moment, when, you know, it might have felt like the sky was falling, versus where you are today, albeit new stresses, new challenges, we'll get into what all that means for you guys the rest of this year. How much of a relief does it feel like now to be where your office is now?
I don't think I don't have relief. I always run on high octane. I always, and maybe this is not a good characteristic, I always think of worst case scenario, but there is some relief with the delegation and in the job duties. It's hard. It's hard because, and I think in elections, you always have to have that worst case scenario mindset.
Good planning. One of the questions we saw pop up a lot after Election Day was, well, okay, they're going to consider full-time election commissioners now. And that story, I think, popped up late December, started to bubble. A lot of folks asked, why has it taken so long? Why is this just now starting to be a conversation? Like you mentioned, there aren't that many other examples of counties that have part-time election commissioners. So when folks asked you, how did you approach that conversation, and what was your thought process on, gee, what has actually taken us so long to get to this point, to have a conversation about moving, our employees from part-time to full-time?
Well, I think, too, a lot has to do with the equipment. We went from paper poll books, and we are now moving into the electronic iPads for voter sign-in. I will say Wayne County has been archaic in the equipment that we've used. We were one of the last two counties in all of New York State that had not made the move to poll pads. Our voting machines, we just did a big update on those. So when you move forward, you've got to progress, and you have to have people in there that deal with this equipment, know the equipment, know the vendor, know the election law. You have to be well versed on it. So I think that's a big reason why the conversation has been had more recently, into the climate of elections and politics. Ever since 2020, you have to have staff in there that is well-versed on election law, knows the procedures. So I think 20, that's when I started feeling it, but it's time.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned poll pads versus paper books. Is that the biggest change that's on the docket right now for elections in Wayne County? Or is there more technology coming?
That is the by far the biggest change. So what we've been working on is connectivity. we've had to go to 37 different buildings, and our IT department has been wonderful. We've had to go survey these 37 different pole sites, see what connectivity we have. We are a very rural county. You know, another thing too, training our poll workers. The demographic of poll workers, you know, they're older. So it's transitioning from paper poll books to iPads. So absolutely, by far, it is the biggest update change process is the equipment and the poll books. And I know there's some people that say why. Why it is because New York State gives us 3 days to upload voter history. So with paper poll books, we would literally have to go through and thumb through every single page of every poll book, and they have a little barcode. So if a voter signs, we scan that little barcode. That would take days. So now with these iPads, it's literally you're uploading voter history to New York State. It takes seconds. So that's we're excited about that.
Yeah. When you think about the training portion of that, you mentioned training the folks who are going to be working at polls. Then also, I'm sure there's training for you guys too,
sure.
Just working with the technology. Do you feel like you have enough time between now and general election day that you feel confident that you guys will be in a good spot? Technology should work well and everything should go okay. How, like, what's your level of confidence that you're going to be able to get everybody up to speed as necessary by then?
We are actually flying two trainers from Florida to our office, our poll pad vendor. There will be not only our department, not only you know myself, my counterpart, the clerks. We are bringing in people from IT. We are bringing in our machine techs, so we can be acclimated and well versed with these products because it's all hands on deck. You know, I might be at a poll site. If there might be issue, I can send an IT person out. My clerk can go out. So I feel good just because the reception and response from our IT department has been phenomenal.
You mentioned connectivity.
Yes.
And the challenges that exist around that in a rural county like Wayne, like any in the Finger Lakes, frankly. How good do you feel about the testing that's been done thus far? How confident, how good do you guys feel about where buildings are and what that connectivity looks like across the whole county?
I feel very good. I mean, they spent about 30 minutes or so per poll site. They gave what they would find to be the best to connect to these poll pads. We are on the phone, emailing, meeting with IT, I would say maybe a couple times a week in talking about the rollout. And again, it's not just going to be us. They're coming out even with us to stage these areas, these buildings, for Election Day. Mm-hmm. I'm not an IT expert. I'll be honest with you. I don't know a lot about routers and modems and Wi-Fi. So I feel pretty good.
Yeah. You've mentioned it a couple times, or you've gotten close to it. Obviously, election integrity,
sure,
is a phrase we hear every day, all the time. When someone asks you, are elections in Wayne County safe and secure? How do you approach that conversation? Because I'm sure the resounding answer is yes, of course they are. But when it comes to having that conversation with someone, it may not be as simple as giving that answer. So how do you approach that conversation just from a day-to-day standpoint? Because I'm sure you don't get it once. You probably get it a dozen times over the course of a month.
Sure. I will tell you the amount of bipartisan audits and practices that we have to do in our department. I would put it up to any department in county government as far as checks and balances. We cannot get into our ballot room, we cannot get into our machine room without a bipartisan swipe. I can't just walk down to our machine room and unlock the door and be able, I have to have a Democrat down there with me to get into that room. The same with the ballots. I do too, though, say there has to be voter accountability. You wouldn't believe, and especially in a presidential year, and I get it, and I got it when I came into being a clerk at the Board of Elections. It's kind of almost like an afterthought. You know, you move, you get married, you know, change your last name. We are kind of one of the last people to think to contact. Yeah. So, you know, it happens every election. Somebody goes to their poll site. You know, I'm not registered here. Where do I go? Don't update your address. You know, don't change your last name. Even, too, with family members that pass away. Who thinks to call the Board of Elections and say, hey, you know, my mom passed away? So there's got to be some voter responsibility, too. You help me for me to help you kind of relationship.
Yeah.
But all in all, I will tell you, I feel very confident in saying what Wayne County provides is secure and accurate elections.
Presidential election year. When you think about a presidential election year, what's different? What's the same? What are some of the things that immediately pop out to you as major things I have to think about this year as commissioner?
Sure. So early voting, I'll tell you, in 2020, we put 1,000 people through our office a day that came in and early voted. The biggest thing is logistics. I always like to use the example of we're going to be planning a wedding reception at 37 different places. We have to make sure, you know, our poll workers get assigned accordingly and properly. Our machine techs get those machines delivered, connectivity, staffing, ballot ordering. You cannot, during a presidential year, there is no break. There's no, you know, where you can kind of, we are in election mode already. It's unprecedented. We had over, I think, a 70% turnout in 2020. We're in full election mode. And just the volume, too. We anticipate the volume to be huge with voters updating their political affiliation. Yeah.
When you think about the prospect of local elections being moved into presidential election year, this is probably the one topic that I was most interested to talk with you about, because this is so fresh. This is so new. Not going to be happening yet, but it seems like we're on that road here in New York State.
Sure.
Probably within the next 2 to 4 years. So when you think about that and that reality of merging together, there will be some exclusions, of course. Some offices that won't be eligible under the proposed state law. But when you think about merging town supervisor races, county races, with presidential, state, federal, how much of a potential nightmare is that? And what comes to mind in terms of what it will take additionally out of your team to be able to pull that feat off every 4 years?
I'm most concerned about our voters in the complexity of the ballot. That's my biggest concern. I talk to many voters, your perm voters, your older voters, that call and say, I'm having a hard time, you know, understanding this if it's a vote for two, for instance. You know, I think the voters are the biggest concern. Is it going to be a front and back ballot? Is it going to be two pages? That's my biggest concern. It's a logistical nightmare getting all of the offices, onto that schedule. That goes beyond just our office. That's talking and coordinating with the town and village clerks. If there's vacancies, how does that work? I hope what the intention is, I hope it works. But the voter is my biggest concern.
Yeah. What would you, if you were thinking about, like, what would be the most effective ballot format? Like, what comes to, because I've thought about this five different ways from next Sunday, and I can't imagine if it's a front and back, you're going to have issues, right, with people just not flipping it over.
Sure.
If it's longer, how much longer can we get? From someone who's been in this work now for, almost a dozen years, like, what is that? Like, what comes to mind as a potential, better solution for presenting that to voters?
Sure. I think it would almost, it would have to go just to like a, I think we use like an 18-inch ballot now, 17.5-inch. I think we would have to go to like a 22-inch ballot. We just had propositions on the ballot in November, and you wouldn't believe the people that don't turn the back of that ballot over and vote the propositions. So I foresee that happening. If that was the case, if we had to go front and back.
Yeah.
But it is discouraging, though, too, when you have a general election where you get a voter turnout of 74%, but then when it's a local or town election, that the turnout is 13%. So that's discouraging as well, too. So if that helps, I hope it helps.
You predicted my next question, because that was actually kind of, give us a sense for what the average presidential year is versus the average local year. Maybe not the most recent years, because I feel like there have been we've had some outliers, right? But like, what is average in Wayne County?
Sure. So I will tell you, with early voting, our office will be open 51 days straight throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So out of this year, we will be open 51 days straight, due to early voting. This past November, even though it wasn't a presidential year, we worked 25 days straight. I feel that'll be even higher. Again, another thing that we're really trying to work on this year too is voter interaction. We're just putting in a press release today because there's a deadline coming up February 14th where it'll be the last day to change your political affiliation if you want to be able to participate in both the presidential and June primary. So I think a big part of in a presidential year is engaging with voters and make sure their addresses are up to date. Name changes, that makes it a lot easier on election day at poll sites. But I remember in 2020, I'll never forget, I would get to work about an hour early during the early voting days. And we would open at 9, and I remember pulling up the driveway at the public safety building, and there would be people waiting outside already at 7:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
Tears, crying.
Yeah.
We anticipate that now more. So hopefully we're a little more relaxed about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How hard is it to relax, though, when the calendar looks like it does? Because I think from the outside, in covering politics and elections in the region over the last, 12 years or so, the biggest change has been the calendar setup, where now, it feels like we just get done with an election cycle and bang, there we are.
Sure.
We're right back in it again.
Sure.
And I feel like to some degree that's played into some folks just not necessarily wanting to engage with it as much because it feels like it's happening all the time. When you think about working in it and the calendar never really stopping, not having an off season, so to speak.
Sure.
How much of a challenge does the modern election calendar present for you guys year in and year out?
It's a big challenge because, right now, we're getting iPads ready with training and coordinating with poll sites, but we're also getting ready for petition passing and caucusing, and I think people forget about that because the most common thing is I get, what do you do all year? What do you do after the election? It never stops, you know. Again, right now we're getting ready. We're getting ready for our running for office packets because petition passing starts next month. So we kind of got to get out of kind of election day mode and go into petition mode and candidate mode. So there is no this kind of thought that, you know, what do you guys do all year? That we do. We're busy. Yeah. We're busy.
Yeah. And in a normal year, especially with local elections, how many local candidates, opposed or unopposed, are typically on the ballot or running for office? Because the official requirements, right, for a candidate, whether they're unopposed or opposed, are the same. They have to go through the same steps. I would imagine you've got dozens and dozens of candidates consulting with your office
Sure.
to make sure they've got all their T's crossed and I's dotted. How many people in a local election year typically run for office in Wayne County?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know what the number. Last year was a huge town year. I'll give you an example. We had 13 out of 15 supervisors up.
Yeah.
You know, so that alone. And quite a few of them that they was contested. I don't even know the number.
It's a big number.
It is.
When it comes to early voting, been around for a few years now.
Yeah.
Does it feel like we're getting closer to a point, which maybe all the norms will go out the window for this year, but does it feel like early voting numbers are starting to normalize, where you guys can more accurately predict what you're going to see or what you're should see on the day-to-day basis?
I think so. I think so. I know, you know, the conversation has been with some of the smaller counties, you know, the mandates and us being open 9 days, you know, two of those days we have to have extended hours. You know, the conversation has been, you know, we don't have the volume as opposed to like a Dutchess or Westchester County. You know, you're Onondaga, you're in Monroe. We have run early voting. We're the whole 9 days. We've had a little over 100 voters. Mm-hmm. So the amount of money it costs, the staffing, but you know, it makes it worth it. If you have a couple come in, Snowbirds is huge.
Yeah.
They appreciate it. And I have a feeling it'll serve its purpose this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Congressional lines. Don't really know what they're going to be, right? We kind of hope in a month or so, end of February, we'll have a better idea. How does that affect the calendar this year for you guys?
So we are running business as usual. Okay. We are going by that calendar. We're not doing the, you know, we're not diverting from it. I think you have to. I think you just have to stick to that calendar, mm-hmm. and not if the what ifs, because we all know there's a million what ifs,
yeah.
and we just have to adhere to it and business as usual until we hear different. In State Board of Elections, I will say, in a bipartisan matter, we meet with them about once a month, and they are wonderful in updating us in any type of, you know, changes they foresee coming, anything being filed. So it's just business as usual until we hear different.
How much of an added stressor is that, though, not knowing what those lines are in, you know, it's January 26th, not knowing what those lines are, given that typically is something that's pretty stationary?
Sure. I mean, it's the possibility of having an August election. It's the possibility of certifying June. I don't even know if we would be certified by then. And then we're rolling out military and federal ballots. So I'll tell you, it's scary to think about. We did it one other time. In four elections in 1 year, and especially a presidential year, it is very daunting, and it's a lot. But we have no choice.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Yeah, it's the hand you're dealt.
Yes.
Last question is this. What's your number one piece of advice for voters as they look ahead to 2024?
My number one, research, call our office if you have any questions about the voting process, the procedures we use, what we do, build a relationship, get registered if you're not, and just make sure that all your information is accurate and up to date, because it'll make our lives easier and theirs as well.
Is it a good idea, no matter what, no matter how long you've lived in a county or a town or whatever the case may be, or how long you think you've been enrolled in a particular party, is it a good idea just every so often to go back and check? Is it?
It is. Yeah. You have some people, and I've encountered this multiple times, you know, they'll go to vote in a primary, and they'll call and they say, I'm a registered whatever party. They registered back when they were 18 years old, and, you know, they call and they say, you know, I thought I was a registered Democrat or Republican, and I said, no, you know, you registered back in 1976, you know. So yes, it is important. It is important to call our office and just make sure, you know, you are the political affiliation you think you are. Your address is correct. So yeah. We're here. We're here to field those phone calls and answer them, because again, it makes our life a lot easier.
Mindy, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for coming
in
today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, that'll do it for this edition of Inside the FLX. For more, check out the show on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts, and we will be back next week. Thanks for watching. See you then.